Good afternoon, everybody. Continuing on this lovely St. Patrick's Day here in the Client Focus Module at the American Animal Hospital Association Conference, I'm Dr. Andrew Shriveman with Hills Pet Nutrition, who's proud to be sponsoring this afternoon's session. The session this hour is the medical history, getting the most out of your clients. Again, it's session number 12518, continuing with Dr. Ward.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much. All right. Everybody doing okay? We almost cleared the room because everybody thinks this is boring, but it's not. This is absolutely very, very exciting. Now, again, as we did the last thing, if you're standing there like this, maybe in the back of the room, leaning up against the wall, no names mentioned or anything like that, but if you're doing like this, then that tells you you're not going to be interested in what I have to say. So always be aware. In fact, today I was listening to Ms. Johnson, and I was sitting at the table, and suddenly I realized my mind was wandering, and two things happened. Number one, I crossed my legs, and I was pointing where? To the door. I really was. And the second thing is, I had crossed my arms, and I had zoned out. And I was like, whoa, this is sending the wrong signal. You know, of course, she couldn't see me, I'm sure, but the point is, I wasn't listening. And I simply undid my arms, put my feet back on the floor, crossed my ankles, actually, and then I was back in tune with her. So it happens constantly, constantly, constantly. So, again, I tell people, you know, you're going to bother if you're going to do that. When it comes to the medical history, most veterinarians say, yep, got that one. In fact, it's not even a vet thing, right? It's a staff thing, so, you know, big deal. And I will tell you right now, I disagree 100%. Because when you look at how important the medical history is, it is the foundation of everything else. Where we usually fail our clients and our patients is that we have two ears, one mouth, and we use them in the wrong proportion. Do you realize that most doctors, when they go into the exam room to examine a human, they already have made a diagnosis before they have listened to the first complaint? What do they make their diagnosis on, you say? This is a recent study in The Lancet. Do you know what they said? Based on the chief complaint, why they made the appointment. So when they see a person this time of year who is complaining of a headache, fever, malaise, what does the person have? The flu. I mean, they just jump right into these things. And the problem is they're failing the system because that person now turns out to have something else. There was a great story in this article, this paper, actually. And this woman, by her own admission, she was a bit anxious and neurotic, she described herself. But she was having these episodes where she felt like she had explosions in her body. And she just felt like she was just going to explode, and she just had so much energy and tremors, right? Well, she went to 5 physicians, including, you know, specialists. 5 physicians. And all of them diagnosed her with what? Something wrong with your head, girl. You ain't exploding in your body. They diagnosed her with behavioral problems. That woman turned out to have an adrenal tumor. Do you know why she felt like she was exploding? She had a cortisol release. She suddenly, everything in her body was constricted. She was going through a fight or flight response for no reason. Yeah, she felt like this. The internal medicine specialist who finally diagnosed her said, "The only thing that I did differently was I listened. And I didn't think she was crazy." Because the other physicians had simply jumped to a conclusion, explosions in her body, yeah, whatever, I'm looking at you, woman, you look like you're crazy, okay? They jumped to the wrong conclusion, could have cost this woman her life. So the medical history is important because we don't always listen and we don't even have the time. So that's what we're going to talk about today because you, Laird, and I don't have the time to sit here and spend 30 minutes to talk about your exploding body syndrome, okay? We just don't have it. And let's face it, a lot of clients do come in sometimes with some pretty wacky complaints. As I mentioned earlier, though, no matter how trivial, use them in the proportion God gave them. 2 to 1. Shut up and listen. It is so critical. I happen to be a loquacious southerner. I like to talk. But I have learned that if I go in that room and start running my mouth, I'm doing a disservice to my patients. I must listen, listen, listen. This is hard for me to do. Very, very hard for me to do. Medical history, examination, all of this adds up to the benefit. Because the benefit is the diagnosis. The benefit is the treatment. People want results. I go to the vet for 2 reasons and 2 reasons only. I go to the doctor for 2 reasons and 2 reasons only. The dentist and so forth. The first reason is, can't fix it themselves. How many of you at the first sniffle or sneeze or sign of fever, rush off to the hospital, rush off to your physician or whatnot? Heck no, man. About 8 bottles of NyQuil later, you're like, all right, I'm not getting any better. So we couldn't fix it ourselves. We go to the doctor. They can't fix it with their pet. They go to the doctor. The second reason is pain. We are homo wimpius, okay? We can't stand pain. Now, it's even worse when it's pain in a child, pain in a pet, because you feel helpless. And you're like, whatever it takes, doc. When pain gets into the equation, we seek help immediately. Couldn't fix themselves, pain. So now, that's the benefit. We've got to fix one of those two things, or we're failing them. So, let's talk a little bit about questionnaires, because questionnaires are the foundation for medical history. And I want to talk a minute about dynamic versus passive. Number one, I love questionnaires, but I hate the traditional questionnaire. The traditional questionnaire is a passive questionnaire. You go to your physician's office, and they say, will you what? Fill out this questionnaire. Have you ever had that before? Oh, yeah. Well, let me just tell you a little experiment I did several years ago, and you may think this is funny, or it may just confirm what you thought about me, that I was a very strange person. I went, and my physician relocated to a new office. He just went to a new office. He didn't, like, change his license or anything. He just moved from here to there. But when I went in for my visit, I go every 6 months. And again, let me just give you a little word of advice. If you want pets to come into you every 6 months, do you go to the doctor every 6 months? Don't answer that question. Bad, Mary. I'm just saying, I want to be my integrity, see? So I go, hey, I go to my doctor every 6 months. I do. I missed my appointment on Friday because I had to be traveling to here. So it's scheduled for Monday. It actually is. You can call me up on Monday morning. I'll be there. Tuesday. I pass out, on average, 1 out of 3 times from giving blood. I'm a super wimp. Okay. But nonetheless, he moves from office A location to B. When I go in, they act like they were a new doctor. And so what do they ask me to do? Fill out a questionnaire. Well, I was ticked. I was like, I've been coming to this guy for a long time. He knows my medical history. Nothing changed. You know, well, we have to do this because we got a new computer system. Didn't you get the old computer file and put, you know, what? Anyway, so I said, I'm going to have a little bit of fun. Because I didn't believe that they did anything with these questionnaires. So, as you're reading off all these things, and if you've ever read these things, which I'm telling by the audience response that maybe you aren't even reading, you're just going, no. All right? But they're really some bizarre questions. You know, they ask you about IV drug usage, you know, and have you, do you have HIV, and do you have unprotected sex and all this stuff, right? I figured I was going to just have a little fun. And I said, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. I did that too. Now, I expected, because I've known my physician for a long time, I expected that when he came into the room, he was going to be like, right? Nobody ever said anything to me about it. So the whole appointment's flying by, and at the end of it, I was like, I'm not going to use his name, but Dr. K, I was like, Dr. K, listen, I got to tell you, I feel awful about this, but I filled out that questionnaire. I just put a bunch of crazy mess down there. I said I had Ebola virus, you know? I did. I wrote Ebola. I said, may have contacted Ebola. And I said, and I don't want you to put in stuff in the wrong way. And he's like, oh, that's okay. We don't really do anything with that anyway. He told me this. Again, I don't like passive questionnaires. So we are not talking about that. When I say questionnaire, I want you to say, phew, that's just a waste of time. Because you may have some crackerjack like me. We are talking about a questionnaire where I am using the questions and asking you for the answer. All right? That is a big difference. You're going to see actually what it looks like and feels like. The reason I like this is it provides structure and focus. It also eliminates information gaps. Here's how the thing plays down, man. All right? Steven, how many people do you employ, work at your clinic, roughly? Just throw it out, full time. 14 people. Okay. So, out of those 14 people, some people have been there a long time, have a lot of experience. Some people have been there, you know, not so long, right? Same thing. So, meaning that probably your more experienced people are going to do a more thorough job. This is the equalizer, because now you can take a less experienced person and get the same robust, rich information as a person who's been there forever. A person who's been there forever, just by hit or miss, will simply, you know, they'll come in and they'll know a vomiting diarrhea dog to ask about diet and last time it fed and does it get in the garbage, do they give table scraps or do they give supplements and things like that, right? They know that because they've done it 100,000 million times. But a person who hasn't been there, that's not at the top of their, you know, list. They're thinking, I don't know what, you know, they don't have a clue. So this is a great way to equalize amongst your staff. So I love these things for that reason. It also demonstrates to the client thoroughness. Because if they come in with a red squinty eye, and we're suddenly talking to them not only about the duration and so forth, but we're asking them, you know, how did it happen? How long has it been going on? What are the characteristics of the clinical signs and so forth? They say, wow, these people are really asking the right questions. It's not just, oh, bless his heart, he's got a little red eye. Okay, well, the doctor will like to look at it, make it all better. You know, that's just not the, that's not professional. That's not what I want to project to me, okay? And again, structure and focus, I mean, we tend to get way tangential. So the basics are, you need to get the date, pet and client's name, chief complaint duration, weight and temperature. Just, and you can add, you know, blood pressure, you can add respiratory rate, I don't care, heart rate, whatever you want to do, but, you know, just get the basics, okay? Diet. What are they feeding? This is huge, right? Because let's face it. Oh, Hills is sponsoring this event. No, it's not just huge because of that, but I will tell you right now, much of our health, human health, pet health, anything, garbage in, garbage out. All right? We are what we eat. Do you guys realize that if you take your DNA samples, you're going to basically find that you are corn? We got corn integrated into every cell in our body at this point, because we basically are corn eaters in this country. Read The Omnivore's Dilemma. Absolutely fantastic book if you're more interested in this. I'll talk to you offline, because this stuff I'm very interested in. Okay? Are they on medications or supplements? Anybody know what percentage of Americans right now will report that they take some type of supplement a day? 1 in 2. Half. Just amazing. Now, if you're taking supplements, what's the likelihood that you will then give it to your pet? You probably know this, because you work for Hills. Is it high or low?
Pretty high.
It's pretty darn high, he says. You bet it's high. So we know this is a huge market. And sometimes they're giving good supplements, like omega-3s and glucosamine chondroitin, but sometimes they get a little wacky, don't they, Andrew? Sometimes they're giving stuff that we're not quite certain if it's good or bad or whatever, okay? So we need to make sure we ask about this. Previous medical conditions, vaccination tests, blah, blah, exposure to other pets. And you're going to see how this plays out. All right. Basic questionnaires look like this. This is actually on the computer, but you can do this for years and years, Stephen, if you don't want to get into the computer game just yet. Do this on a CCR paper, carbonless paper. One copy, the original, goes to the client. The yellow copy goes to the medical record. All right? Everything is shared with the client, including the questionnaire. We want them to have a copy of the questions we just asked them and they answered. This can help you out in legal cases, for sure. I had a case maybe a year and a half ago. Lady came in. She'd been at her exam, her annual exam, 4 months prior. She came in, new lump had popped up, right? Unfortunately, this new lump in this dog turned out to be my favorite mast cell tumor. Good prognosis? Not so good. What do you say, Laird? Yeah, I don't like making that diagnosis. So, I can't believe it. I was just in here 3 months ago. Y'all missed this, blah, 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 right? Well, you're going to see how we dealt with it. Because on the question, have you noticed any lumps or bumps on your dog? And we have them for cats, too. She said, no, I haven't seen lumps or bumps. The doctor's exam, which is the lower part of this, we also, the doctor who saw this patient, didn't note it at all. So now, you say you don't see any. We didn't see any. I, right now, am going to bet it wasn't present there 3 months prior. Now, this lady is hot, Andrew. She's hot. And, you know, and rightfully so, because if we missed it, she wants to get us for it. I showed her this, you know, because, again, we just pulled it at the computer, say, here it is, blah, blah. She was a reasonable person, thank the Lord. And she said, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, you know, because we ask you. I recently had a second opinion case on a cancer case. And I know, in fact, I was talking to somebody about this not too long ago, personally. But this woman wants to sue the vet. I mean, she's actually saying that to me. She's going, what do I need to do to sue this guy? You know, and it boils down to, was the tumor there? It was a melanoma. Was it there when it was last examined? I don't know. But guess what? We've got nothing to stand on. So I'm defending this guy. I'm like, oh, no, of course not. I mean, melanomas are very serious. Vets are trained. I mean, we are highly, highly attuned to look for these types of black raised, you know, dome types of tumors. So there's no way that I can imagine that you know, he would have missed that. Again, my word versus her word versus his word. I mean, you know, it's a mess. And she really is hot about this because her dog, she's probably going to do radiation. I mean, you know, the whole nine yards. So what are these questions? Again, for annual exams, my questions, your questions makes no difference. But heartworm and flea tick preventative are you using? None, yes. When did you last administer it? It's not good enough to say, are you giving a preventative? You need to say, when did you last administer it? And even the brand, if you can get it. Because here's the reality. if they don't know what food they're feeding and what heartworm preventive or flea, they probably aren't giving it very often, right? Because you kind of have to open up that box of Sentinel or HeartGuard or whatever it is, you know, or Revolution or Frontline or Advantage. You've got, I mean, you're looking at that. I mean, I probably can draw it with my eyes closed because, you know, every month I do it for my pets. So be specific. Ask questions, you know, and try to drill down and see if you know it. Have you seen any fleas or ticks on your dogs? No or yes? I live in the South. I don't have as much Lyme disease, but if they're talking about fleas and ticks, Stephen, it's a natural progression. Hey, we want to make sure we're protecting them against ticks in particular. Okay? What brand of food do you feed your dog and how much do you feed? Why? Because I personally believe that garbage in, garbage out. So I believe in diets like Hills and others. I mean, I believe in these things. These are important things to feed. Because if we feed junk, we are going to have overweight, obese dogs, unhealthy dogs, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of issues with food, but, you know, I just want to feed something that's easy and convenient and I trust. And I do trust these things. Do you provide any dental care for your dog? No. Nobody feeds these. Nobody does dentistry, right? So, I have another little rule for you. Don't, and let me get to your question in just a second. I don't recommend, I don't push people to do things that I don't do. I do not brush my dog's teeth every day. Therefore, I don't say, you're a bad pet owner. You should be brushing your dog's teeth every day. I simply say, you do. Yeah, that's great. So Laird can do this. I believe this. So this is good. And I know Laird and I trust him. So he can say this. I can't. I'm a bad veterinarian. I'm a bad pet owner. I say, hey, you know, in a perfect world, we'd all brush our pet's teeth every day. But that's all I can do to get my kids and my teeth brushed. Okay? What I do is I have my pet's teeth cleaned once a year. And I think anybody can do that because we can schedule a day at the spa for half a day. So I just like congruency. If I'm going to feed a diet that I recommend, if I'm going to recommend it, I want to feed it. I mean, we have firm rules in our place. You do not work at our hospital unless you feed the diet we recommend. Okay? And again, I'm going to leave them to their own devices to make that decision. Yes, ma'am. Now, yes, just discharge that from your mind forever. The owner never fills out anything. Yeah. And I probably didn't make that clear enough, but these are active, dynamic, interactive, whatever you call it. And you'll see it. But we'll keep going down, you know, the list. The questions aren't the important part, Stephen. Your questions will be different than mine. Maybe, maybe not. But we want to make sure that we are asking these questions, okay? So we have them for cats. This is how they play out at our hospital for the annual. We have adult dog, adult cat, senior dog, senior cat. Then we go through puppy, and each puppy visit has a different set of questions and a different set of things that we're checking off. So we have 4 puppy visits and 4 kitten visits, and each thing. For example, how do you know if you discuss poisonous plants with puppies? Unless it's gone through their number 2, which is on our number 2, it can be on your number 4, I could care less. But unless it's been checked off, you know, and it has initials, then I don't know if we talked about poisonous plants. And sometimes we don't get to everything, but at least now I have a permanent record saying, next time I want to talk about poisonous plants. Spay, neuter, basic behavior, toys, whatever. This is how you drive compliance. Yes, ma'am. I doubt it. I'm just AHA Hospital, so I have that may confuse you, but I put AHA logo on everything. So, because I'm proud to be AHA. So I do, I put AHA logo everywhere. And it means nothing to people, but it means everything to me. So, you know, people don't, you know. You don't join AHA to get more clients. You don't join AHA because, you know, you think it's going to be bottom line stuff. You join AHA because we get together as a group. We have resources that can then impact the greater profession. Rising tide floats all ships. So that's my belief in this stuff. But let's kind of get to, I want to show you how it works. Cat, same thing. Different questions, same thing. You know, honestly, most of the drug companies have this, all of these things. I mean, I know that Pfizer over the years, IDEX over the years, Intervet, I think even maybe Mariel, they've all taken those. Maybe they've branded it, but you'll see my stuff out there. You know, so if you ask a lot of these people, they've got a copy. I just don't like it branded. I want it. Sorry, Mr. Hills, but I like it personalized. So, yes, ma'am. I don't. She says, so instead of asking, what are you giving, why don't you say, are you still giving, like we saw it last time, he was on Frontline or HeartGuard or whatever. I don't like doing that because you just gave him the answer to the question. So by asking it more open-ended, I'm more likely to get a truthful response. Because, yeah, we give that every month. And you're looking and you're going, how did you give it every month? Because you only bought one box for 12 months or 14 months. I don't like giving them answers. I like keeping it open. I like open-ended questions for a questionnaire. There's a time for more specifics and a reminder, but not at this stage. I'm just trying to get, let's get to the basics. Let's keep it, kind of keep it. Yes? No, ma'am, the technician. Yeah, and in fact, I'm just now getting to this. This is what it looks like on the computer. Everything is paperless in our hospital, so, you know, and again, you're not paperless unless you're doing digital RADs, unless your lab is all tied in, you're doing, you know, signature captures and all that stuff, you know. So we can talk more about that offline. We're currently now using the Dell 420s, 520s. They are just a little bit bigger. This is an X1. So they weigh about 3.5 pounds, so they're very small. And Dell just gives them away because out of the goodness of their heart, they're really inexpensive. That was a joke, but I will tell you this right now, 3.5 pounds is the threshold. If you give a 4-pound laptop, a 5-pound laptop, they will not carry it around, period. They are very, very hard to carry. Yes, ma'am. I said, that's the old way. I said, Stephen, if you don't want to jump into the computer game, you can do the old paper way. Yeah. Yeah, but we client gets a hard copy. This goes straight to the patient record, the clipboard. So, good. And again, offline, I can talk to you guys more specifically. This is what it looks like. Stephen, if you're developing these things with your programmers, and again, we do this, you know, I pay computer people to do this. I say, this is what I want. You want lots of check boxes. Check, 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 check. You want tab fields. You want stuff that goes fast. Okay? You want lots of yes, no's type stuff so that you don't have to type a lot. Because remember, otherwise you will get the technology in the way. And I want to speed up to that. Again, just some of the questionnaires I think you should have. We have about 30 of these, but, the basics are, do you have limping questionnaires, itching, vomiting, diarrhea, coughing, abnormal urination, sneezing, ocular discharge, I mean, whatever. Basically, here's an example, red eyes, squinting, ocular discharge questionnaire. And again, it's simple questions. This is how it would look on the computer screen, but obviously, you know, when it prints out, it's not like, you know, just lines and stuff, it's typed. You know, age, weight, which eye is affected, describe your pet's condition, how long you've noticed problem, hours, days, weeks, trauma, injury, you know, just... My questions. Your questions can be different. It makes no difference. But now, anybody can go in my hospital, and see a red squinty eye, a discharge eye, fill out this questionnaire, and get me the information I want. I cannot tell you how many times that prior to questionnaires, and it's been so long, but I can tell you that this is what would happen. Which eye is it? Oh, gosh, let me think here. Did you say it was the dog's right or her right? And I still don't quite understand that, but people say that all the time. Right? You understand? It's really the left eye, but it's the dog's right because they're looking at it. Okay. So you need to be very specific on this stuff. And again, questionnaires, there's no gaps. How we do this, and again, Gina's coming up here, and she's going to use their name. You know, we kind of talked about that. Eye contact here. I'm kind of reviewing stuff here on the board. Be seated, 45-degree angle. Here she's actually, in fact, this is a picture from maybe 3 years ago because we're in pink. I can date it. I mentioned earlier, we change them about every year, year and a half. So we're in pink. That puts us probably around 04, maybe early 05. And so she's seated 45-degree angle. Again, I was talking to some gentleman earlier about he was saying it's hard to do in his room, but it's a really more natural. I mean, this is a much more open, engaging posture. I hate to do the nonverbal stuff. Let's kind of move forward to this. Yeah, when it comes to the exam, I just want to briefly show you some newer slides here. All of this is how they judge you. They don't judge you on your diagnosis. They judge you on how they feel. Again, when you go back to communication, it is, how do you feel? Did we meet your needs? Okay? So if you can't fix the disease, you're in the wrong business. All right? So if you can't cure the itching or the vomiting or the whatever, you need to tell them why you can't do it or get out of Dodge. But how you make them feel is all that other stuff. Again, perceived thoroughness is absolutely vital. That is, if you want to create value, they need to say, these people were thorough. Stephen, if I had a nickel, and I'm honest about this, if I had a nickel for every time clients have said remarks to me like, gosh, you know, I've never seen a vet take this much time during a physical examination. And I spend on average 9 to 12 minutes for the whole experience. I'm just like, wow, I would have enough money to, you know, I wouldn't buy a car or something, but I'd buy a new computer for the hospital. All right, so let's walk through this real quick. Medical history, here's Julie. And again, this is more recent. This is probably from the past year because we're in our blue and black, which I thought at first would be a disaster, but black is so slimming. The girls look great in it. And now, of course, they're tossing that to the wind and we're going to this other color. But, you know, again, you do it. I like the piping on this stuff. You know, they feel good. They have these black tops or sweater, whatever. Okay. Again, be seated. Eye contact. We talk about that. That's a really good. Julie's doing great there. Incidentally, Julie, that young lady right there, never worked in the veterinary profession. She has been with us now maybe a year and 2 months. That's it. It's all about training. You bring these people up to speed right away. She's going to spend, on average, 2 to 5 minutes at the front end of this, because the front end of this is just kind of getting the basics. I mean, this is where she's just asking, you know, the first part. At that point, an assistant is going to come in, and this is Chrissy, who actually this is a little bit older picture. Chrissy actually started out as an assistant. She is now one of my absolute top receptionists. She is fantastic up front. She's good in the back, but her communication skills are phenomenal. So we put her up front. But anyway, she's going to come in, and you've got to introduce. So what we have found, when we designed our hospital in 98, in 1997, we sent out a questionnaire to all of our clients. I had about 1,100 people almost at that time. And we asked them a lot of questions about the design of our hospital. We got back over 400, which is just phenomenal in my opinion. But nonetheless, we asked them different questions. And one of the key questions we asked Laird was this. We said, do you want to be present for your pets getting blood samples, anal sacs, nail trims, and all that stuff? Bless you. All right. 2/3 of the people expressed no preference, meaning they said that they don't care or they had no opinion on it. 1/3 said, yeah, we want to be right there with us the whole time. Majority rules in my world. So we take them back because we know that we can focus more. But you've got to introduce and tell them where they're taking the pet. Meanwhile, she's going to take the assistant is going to take him to the back while she's going to continue. This is important, in my opinion, because at this point, when the pet is gone, the person becomes much more focused. But you've got to, again, do your homework, explain, I'm taking him to the back, it'll take 3 or 4 minutes or whatever time frame, you know, is reasonable for your particular workflow, and say this is what they're going to be doing and who it is. Yes, ma'am. Yes, prior... No. We have a Velcro rule. Once you walk into our hospital, somebody is with you the entire time. The worst thing you can ever do is park somebody in an empty exam room. Even if you're waiting on x-rays, as we were talking about this morning, I'd rather be in the lobby because they intermingle with other people. All right. So meaning that somebody is with them the whole time. Let's be honest. We have, on average, less than almost two, visits a year for a dog. Cat, maybe one. You schedule 30-minute appointments. If they spend half of that time empty, that means you might have 14, 16 minutes to do everything they need in a year to talk about all the issues. Is any wonder compliance? Last year, our average canine patient, dog, per dog, not family, not client, saw us almost 7 times. It was 6.8. Cat saw us 4.2. Why? Because I believe in this. This is absolutely, if you want to drive compliance and have them come back for blood tests and dentistries and this and that and all this stuff, you've got to spend time with them. They don't know. We're not educating them. Andrew, your company knows this all too well. They say, the main reason why people aren't feeding our diet or whatever is nobody's telling them. Nobody's talking to them about it. We found this out, you know, firsthand. So at this point, again, the dog is out of the room. As getting blood tests, weight temperature, whatever. She's now focused in here, continuing to get medical history. Ask questions. If it's annual, she's finishing up that. Again, additional 3 to 5 minutes. So at this point, this is only 6 to 10 minutes into the exam. Yes? Yes, prior to the appointment, she says, I'm going into room 3. That was kind of, I don't know if you're here for the earlier sessions, but when we're all sitting around, we're kind of triaging and making sure that everybody knows where they're supposed to be. Hey, Susie, I'm going into room 3 with Scooter here for his senior pet, you know, wellness exam, whatever. Can you come in and give me about 2-3 minutes? I mean, that's how you coordinate it. It's that simple. And then 2 or 3 minutes, you know, Chrissy just pops in the room. It's like magic. And we say, oh, this is Chrissy. She's one of our assistants. She's going to be taking Scooter back now for, and at that point, so you've got to know, how much, like for senior pet, that's probably a 3 minute. We want to give us at least 3 to 4 minutes because they've got to ask them. They've got to feel them out. Do they want to do blood and urine tests or not? Because some people do, some people don't. We personally find that about 70% of the people that are going to do it immediately. The other 30% wait for the doctor to come in and for me to do my spiel. And then, of course, there are other people who just, I'm not interested in it. But you just need to give yourself time. And then the person magically pops in and then they take the pet out. But explaining is critical. Yes. And again, I apologize because I do entire days on appointment workflow, and this is not the scope of this talk, but it's my favorite part. Yes. Right. So she says, how do you do, you know, I get it for annual, whatnot. The cool thing is about 60%, 60 to 70% of all the clinics I've ever been in, my own included in this, are what we would consider routine medical visits. Those are minor medical conditions and annual wellness type of puppies, whatever. I mean, however you want to throw that in there. But they're routine things. So the vast majority lump into the easy stuff. Now, the harder stuff, it's going to take longer. The appointment flow is going to be a little bit disruptive. But you got to focus on what is the majority. Now, if you're a specialist and all day long, I'm not going to say this is going to be the best approach, but I work with a specialist, especially hospital in Charleston, and they do something very similar. And we've had huge success over a decade doing it that way. So, meaning that I hear you. I think that people have to be open-minded and say, is there a better way to do this? Because right now, average person that walks into your hospital, and I don't know anything about your hospital, I'm just saying a vet hospital, is waiting 30 to 35 minutes. Okay? Average wait for a physician, I don't know, do the math. I don't trust people. People say no. They say this all the time. I had a vet that swore up and down to me that people did not wait in his lobby at all. It took me about 1 hour to say, everybody up there, I've so far counted, they're averaging over 22 minutes. So, I mean, yeah, it's our perception. Vets have no clue what's going on up front. Vets have no clue. I mean, I unfortunately, sorry vets, but have no clue about that. Again, and also the scary thing about parking people in room is they can get forgotten. I was recently on a consulting job. I kid you not. They know that a consultant is there, Hardeev, and here's the deal. There was a woman, I noticed the receptionist put her in a room, and I'm kind of like, you know, I'm making my notes. I'm going, there is nobody going back in here. 5 minutes passes. 10 minutes passes. I finally couldn't stand anymore. I was like, hey, do y'all know who that lady is in this room over here? Oh, gosh, I totally forgot. And I'm just wondering if it happened there when they're supposed to be in their Sunday go-to-meeting best. Wow. Imagine what it was like on a regular day. So, and again, this clinic was great. This clinic was an award winner. So just be aware. It can happen to everybody. I just don't want it to happen to me. Pet then is returned to the room by the assistant. At this point, the assistant says, hey, we're finishing up in room 3. Okay, so Scooter Smith, I know the schedule. I know the next 3 appointments all day long. I know what they're there for, their name, recognition. So then we're going to do something really, really cool that I hope you kind of appreciate. So she's going to finish up because now the assistant comes in, and typically it goes like this. They go, let's say you're the tech and I'm the assistant. Belinda, are you about ready for the doctor? Oh, yeah. Just tell Dr. Ward we're ready anytime he is, okay? Or Dr. whoever, okay? And then she'll come back out and she'll go, hey, Dr. Ward, Scooter Smith, room 3, they're ready for you. Okay, have you gotten everything up? Yeah, and she'll hand me the tray or whatever. How the thing is flown out. I don't know what they need, you know, but I go in right into the room. And this is where I think the cool thing happens. All right. When I walk in, of course, a big smile, hello, and this is a real appointment. We have this orchestrated because if you're going to be moving around in your room, people need to know which way to go. And if you are bumping into each other, it looks discombobulated and it says these people aren't quite together. So you need to have rules. You need to say, doctors to the inside, staff to the outside. That's our rule. You could be opposite. I could care less. It depends on how the ergonomics of your room. Okay? But for us, doctor goes to the inside, staff goes to the outside. And what I'm doing is we're just going to switch positions because now Julie, the tech, is going to go to the back, and I'm going to come straight. In fact, I'm already, you can see I'm getting mounted. I'm getting ready to come in and do my double hand or handshake right there. I can't even help it, even in the funny picture. But at this point, I've got about 9 to 12 minutes on average for a medical history, exam, and explanation. Now, most doctors make this mistake. They think they are spending more time with their clients than they are. I recently hired a veterinarian who has 11 years experience. Came from, an award-winning clinic. Fantastic. In fact, I met her through, I did a consulting job for their clinic years ago, and anyway, it just so happened life kind of moved. She moved an hour away from us, so she drives an hour to work at our practice. Well, she had trepidation when she came in. She's like, I read your articles, and I've seen your lecture, and of course, I know what you did at our clinic, but I've been worried about, you know, how y'all do everything, and people are in and out, and boom, 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 you know, it's just like a machine there. She goes, I like to spend a lot of time with my clients. I was like, great, so how long do you think you spend? Oh, I usually spend about 20 minutes or more. I said, okay. And again, I hear you, I love you, I just don't trust you or believe you, okay? And this is how I move through life like this, okay? Because I want the data. Show me the data, baby, all right? So I said, hey, that's fine. Let's just time it, all right? You know her average total time with clients was? When she came to our hospital, when she first came to our hospital, do you know what her average time was? 6 minutes. Yeah, almost 6 minutes and change. She thought she was spending 20 minutes, because here's what vets do. They put this blinder on, and you guys know it if you are support staff Joe. Because support staff Joe says, you know what, Dr. Ward, he spends a whole lot of time with the people he knows, people he surfs with, or Ryan, what does go to church, or whatever. And then he spends a little bit of time with other people. And do you ever have to drag, don't answer, but sometimes you have to drag doctors out of appointments, right? And that's usually not because they're like saying, and let me just explain to you the latest in radio imaging. You know, I mean, they're not doing that. They're like going, yeah, I tell you what, that visiting minister, I didn't like what she said either, right? That's what we're talking about in there. It is true. In fact, I got into that discussion not too long ago. I had to get out of it very quickly. But we're talking about the wrong things to the wrong people at the wrong times. So we're wasting our time. So suddenly I show her the data. I say, yesterday, we clocked you on 4 appointments. You're not, and it doesn't matter, 4, it can be 100, it doesn't matter. We're just trying to get an image here of what's going on. So we clocked you on 4 appointments. You spent, from the time you walked in to the time you walked out, 6 and change on average. No, that's impossible. Time yourself. Now, of course, by now, she's realizing she's caught because we've been timing it. And so people's perception of time is very, very different. So you need to get the data. Because let me just tell you a little secret, Laird. Sometimes that 10 minutes lasts an eternity. I don't know what to say to these people anymore. I've talked out. It's going on and on. 10 minutes, you say, should fly right by. Not always, man. It's a 3-year-old Maltese. There's nothing to talk about, you say. So you've got to make sure you're on your A game too with every client, every time, and you're talking about these things, you know? We get tired of talking about certain things like dentistry. Why? Because people say, no, 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 no. So pretty soon you start, you know, you don't ask out the cheerleader anymore. That's what I learned about 10th grade, right? You just don't ask out the cheerleaders because they're going to say, no, 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 no. Okay? So we stop talking about these things, and then all of a sudden we've got nothing left to talk about. So we're like, hey, well, if it is a fiddle, you know? I mean, literally, literally. And you just want to be careful with that. Be very, very careful. Yes. No, we haven't even gotten to that part. Yeah. No, no. That was only for medical data, weight, temperature, respiration, whatever it is we need, or blood samples, urine samples, fecal samples, whatever, you know, those types of things. Maybe it's a nail trim even. But we're just trying to disconnect from the pet because we need that 3 to 5 minutes. And let me just tell you right now, you have got to get your systems down. You have got to look at the flow in your back layer so that you can get these blood, you can get this blood sample quickly. Because if you're in the back going, hey, where's the alcohol? Hey, who is, you know, that's 30 seconds, man, looking for the alcohol. Tourniquets, you know. I need somebody to help me. You know, can somebody come over and hold off a vein? If this sounds familiar, it needs to become unfamiliar very quickly. You've got to develop a system. And that just simply means listening. You know, listening. You as an owner, you as a doctor, saying, uh-huh, we're always looking for the alcohol. Has anybody ever had that problem before? Yeah, of course. We have problems like this all the time. Alcohol, not that kind of alcohol. He's a vet, so he's got, I get confused sometimes. Okay. So I've got 9 to 12 minutes, but let's kind of keep moving here. This is where some of the cool stuff. You can see I walk over. I always, you know, shake hands, shake palms, shake paws, however you want to do it. I'm making good eye contact. You know, I'm talking, hey, blah, blah, blah. In fact, you can see I'm on the ground at this point. I'm kneeling down, you know, because my stool's over here. And at this point, I'm now, this is the cool part. Because you can absolutely sabotage, undermine everything that's happened before this by saying something. So, Andrew, what you here for today? They just spent close to 10 minutes telling this person what the heck they're here for today. Medical, annual, makes no difference. So the coolest thing is, and this is such a great picture, I've got to really thank Gina for this picture, because what am I doing here? And it's even in motion. I'm turning to Julie because after I do my little pleasantries, hey, you know, blah, 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 I sit down and I turn. And I say to Julia, the technician, so, give me the story of Scooter. I now make them an authority. I now involve them in the process. I now create value because I've said to the client, all that time spent talking to this person, this is where it comes out. And it's beautiful because here's what happens. So now they spit back to me. You know, they say, well, Scooter's been doing really well. You know, I did want to point out that his weight was up or whatever the little issues may be. Okay, he's concerned about this or that or the other. But here's the deal. As they're going through this, the client has the opportunity to what? Expound, add on. So for medical cases, this is just a wonderful opportunity because they say, well, and you know, basically they've been feeding old Roy. Wait,
I'm not feeding old Roy. I mean, I feed science diet. I just mix in the old Roy, you know, or whatever they're going to say.
Because they get very nervous. But it's so great because have you ever had these clients where they tell the tech one thing and the doctor something completely different? We just eliminated all that. We just said, whoa, clean right here, flatten it out. Here you go, you tell me, and now you're spitting it back. And again, you've given credence to why. Because I will tell you right now, I absolutely hate going to my physician. In fact, they know now, they don't even ask me a medical history because it's a waste of my time. And I know him personally outside of our practice relationship. Although I do refer to him as Dr. K in the practice setting. I know him socially outside. And I've told him this, he's like, don't waste your time because, and he's like, yeah. Because they don't listen. The doctor, you know, they have their own preconceived, whatever. So, I believe this is one of those things that you should walk back and you should go, what am I saying about my staff? What am I saying about the value of their involvement in the appointment? Now see, Alfred, this is the scary part. Because this is about trusting others. This is about letting go of responsibility. It's also about letting go of the ego, because here's the deal. We now start to elevate these people up. And let me tell you how you know when you have a hospital-centered hospital versus a doctor-centered hospital. For years and years and years, if I did a case like I had this in resection anastomosis last week, for years and years and years, the first 5 years of my practice, I would get a thank you card, cookies, whatever, flowers, whatever, from that client. Dear Dr. Ward, thank you for saving my dog's life. Oh, blah, 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 you're so great, blah, 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 blah. Doctor-centered practice. 100%. Well, it ought to be, dadgummit. Spent an hour and a half in there doing this surgery. A technician can't do that surgery. Joe's support staff sure can't do that surgery, okay? We got, on Thursday, a box of fruit. People don't really send me much cookies because, you know, they know how I'm about health. So we got a box of fruit, okay, with a card. Dr. Ward was listed as number 4. I did the daggum surgery. I did the daggum diagnosis. I was the 4th person behind 2 techs and an associate that I literally was showing her how to do the surgery. I was number 4, dude. Now, if I make it about my ego, then I'm insulted, you know? But instead, I just take every opportunity. I'm like, yes, yes. That's how I want it to be because you have to create. You have to own the business, not own the job. And that's the real difference because it's about letting go. And all this, you know, quite frankly, here's how it went down, okay? I make the phone call after the surgery. They'd already updated her in the surgery, you know, kind of because we're having to do this crazy surgery. You know, it's pretty involved. I'm not a great surgeon, you know, but I do this kind of stuff. So I call him afterwards and I was like, yeah, you know, it was great. I said, I got to tell you though, Dr. Rose just did a fantastic job with the diagnosis. You know, well, she missed it. Sorry, Dr. Rose. She did a great job with the diagnosis. I'll tell you, without her, I mean, this case could have had a very different outcome. I mean, I'm just so glad that you came in and Dr. Rose got right on it. I mean, just building up Dr. Rose, right? And of course, she became higher on the thank you card than me. But that's what it's about. At the end, for me, it's not about Dr. Ward being centered. You know, and who knows, Dr. Rose could leave me in a few years. I don't know. She could go open up down the street. Well, she can't because I'll sue her, Fanny. But all these things, that's not what life's about, you know? My life is not about competing and being, you know, ooh, I get more cookies than you get more cookies, you know? My life is about, can I share and build people up? Because I find, me personally, on a serious level, that the more I give, the more I get back, you know? And that was a $2,500 bill, man, so that was well worth my time, you know? Yes. I'm sorry, I could not hear you. Great question. Are these questionnaires your medical notes? They are part of it. So they get a copy of the questionnaire, but then there's going to be a report that's generated. And I'll move to that. I got distracted there. I apologize. At that point, I stand up. Doctor stays in. Technician comes out. Meanwhile, maybe you're asking yourself, what's that technician doing for that 2 to 3 minutes or whatever? Well, she's explained some of that. But she also has some opportunities to be, you know, filling out medical charts. Who knows? She can be doing a lot of stuff. In fact, she has a great opportunity, and I wish we had more time to talk about it. Now she goes, gets the pet, and we begin the examination. Now, then what happens, I mean, first of all, vaccinations, man, it's an afterthought. Oops, oh, we're doing a vaccine? It's like, I want to diminish that 100%. They're not there for the vaccines. If they're there for the shot, man, then you are a vaccinarian, all right? And I hope you've all heard me use that term before, but that's how people view us, as vaccinarians. Specialists call us that. It's not very polite. I was actually invited several years ago to work with a specialist, and they let it slip in the hallways, you know, because that's what I do. I'm a vaccinarian, you know, because I talk about talking to people and touching people and all that stuff. That's vaccinarian. I'm like, man, I'm a doctor of veterinary medicine. Doctor of veterinary medicine is not about the shot. Okay, so you get the idea. At that point, we do it at the very end. Without boring you, at the end of my exam, so now I spend about 4 minutes examining the pet. What do you think I do next? Pull my stool back out, 45-degree angle. I review my physical exam findings. Technician is still in the room. What do you think she's doing during all that? Making notes on the physical examination. You know, I've said it's stage 3 out of 4 periodontal disease. Need to do whatever, you know, or it's obese. Need to do this, that. She's typing all this in. I got to tell you, I don't do any medical records anymore. I haven't done it for years, Stephen. I'm afraid I'm beginning to lose the ability to write, you know, because they do it all. They can do this stuff for you. And of course, for a more complex discharge, I mean, I'm absolutely minimizing my impact. But, you know, the reality is 60-70% of this stuff, they're handling it all right there. I mean, if it's a minor ear thing, you know, and again, I would encourage you, maybe in the next year or two, you'll be able to catch me out, because I literally do all day on workflow. This was just a brief snippet into the physical exam, I mean, to the history part of it. Discharge instructions, again, as the young lady pointed out, we want them to get a copy of the questions and answers. We want to share. I believe in complete transparency. This is what we asked you, and this is what you said. Because if there are issues, and I can tell you that sometimes there are issues, people say, no, I didn't say that. We want to correct it right then and there. No, there is a bump behind its ear or in its groin. I mean, we want to know that that's the time, rather than them waiting 3 months coming in here. Ah, lymphosarcoma. Ah, I was just in here. You missed it. Ah, you know, can I get a lawyer? Any of you guys here in Chicago area, Illinois area? You got the first pet lawyer up there. I'll send you the web link. You know about it, right? No? Yeah. Practice solely devoted to pet law. You're going to see more and more of this stuff. Yes, sir. I know it's going to be a tough question.
You train your doctors through the workflow.
Yeah. Interestingly, we have just completed filming a video of the entire workflow. I have like one training video on the experience. Now we've got one all on the appointment. So if you go to the website, E3 Management, it's going to be available in just a couple of months. We had hoped to have it done by AHA. But it was interesting because I had a film crew that I'd worked with before, and they came in. And the film schedule didn't work out that great for me because I had to go give a speaking engagement. So I missed 2 days of filming. I got my parts done, and then basically these film people were just loose. And at first, the filmmaker was like very nervous about this. He's like, you can imagine, he's going, oh, great, you know, the guy who is the mastermind is going to take us twice as long. But the comment I got was, he goes, I couldn't believe it. He goes, you know, you're gone. And he goes, they all do it the same way. And that's the difference. That's what training does for you. Our techs do it all the same way. Our doctors do it all the same. I mean, receptionists, everything is training. Because if without that, then it's hit or miss. It's inconsistent. And it's not like we all go, hello, good afternoon. Oh, bless your heart. You're so cute. It's not like we're that at all. It's just you're giving people the ideas and say, this is how it works. And then what happens? Short-term wins. Laird, short-term wins. So if I'm going to achieve a goal, I have to have short-term wins. And they start to see the positive results, Scott. So now they're going, wow, people do get this. They dig this. The doctors turn to me and ask me for the medical history. That just makes people swell with pride because it tells that technician or whomever is involved with this that you count. Your voice is loudly heard. I mean, I love this part because, again, we're dealing with younger people here, and Ms. Johnson, you know, she nailed it. I mean, you know, the next generation, Gen Y, whatever, they want that. They need to be stroked a lot. And again, there's some generational differences. You know, my dad, again, your classic silent generation, you know, I don't need to tell you I love you. I show you I love you by not beating you, you know? It's true. Whereas, you know, other generations need a lot more. You know, they want to be reassured that, hey, no, you're great. You're doing a fantastic job. And again, that gets into rewards. And just to tell you a little bit about the importance of evaluations, your evaluation goes like this. You have an informal at 1 month, informal at 2 months, formal at 90 days, formal at 6 months, then every 6 months for the first 3 years. And then it's annual after you're a senior staff member at 3 years of full-time employment. How do we track this? Do you know where we put it, Laird? We put when your evaluation is due on our appointment scheduler. That tells everybody in the practice when your eval is due. Because the other thing is, an evaluation, Stephen, believe it or not, for employees like Joe today, is code for raise. So they say, I need my evaluation. See, they're more savvy. They don't say, I need a raise. I need my evaluation. And we have totally missed the whole point of a performance evaluation. You don't typically get a raise when you get evaluated at our hospital. It's much more complex than that. I mean, we have some pretty cool stuff. You know, again, I'm out of time. Don't get mad at me. But I love to do this. This all is throwing us. This is a typical report. This is just for some little cornified thing on the foot pad. We love digital technologies. They get a printout copy of this. We love color laser jets. Love them. Have two of them. So make sure this is what they go home with. This is value because now, you know, let's face it, Stephen, you're dealing with females, you said earlier, 35-year-old yuppie type people, you know. They have to go home and their husband, who's also a yuppie, says, $500 to have his teeth cleaned. And if he only has the bill invoice to go by, you're missing a huge opportunity. The wife needs to be able to show him pictures. No, honey, look, this is the tooth. These are the copies of the dental x-rays. Whatever it is that you do, man, I want to have evidence, hard evidence. Honey, this is why we spent $500. This is why Dr. Stephen is the best in the world. All right, we'll take a break here. Thank you for your patience. 410. Thank you. I have the wrong time up there. 410. You guys have a great break. Thank you again.